Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. Andrew Borden now is dead. Lizzie hit him on the head. Up in heaven he will sing. On the gallows she will swing.
This is the Real BS Show.
The Real BS Show, yeah.
We are.
It's a beautiful day out there, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Now, what was this in the beginning here? Lizzie Borden.
That's right.
Man, I got on YouTube and there must be 100 videos about that.
Oh, sure.
Everybody, and these are recent. I mean, people are still arguing about it today.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah. They don't know exactly. It's what kind of a whodunit kind of thing.
Yeah, they really don't know, yeah.
There's theories, you know, I kind of side on, it probably is only three people, Lizzie Borden being prime suspect, but also there was Sullivan, there was one uncle.
John Morris.
John
yeah.
Moore, yeah, yeah. And there was a third one, I can't remember his name, but those top three are really the ones that I think probably did it. And there's various reasons why it could have happened, but it was, go ahead, why don't you tell the story?
Well, it's just a crazy story about a miser. I mean, a guy was a family man, but he wouldn't. Which one is mine?
That's yours, right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
Which one is mine? There, that's better.
Yeah.
Okay. He just wouldn't spend money on anything. He started a self-made guy, you know, and
right.
worked his way up. Next thing you know, he's one of the richest people in. What was that town? River something.
Yeah.
River Falls or River.
Yeah, this is, mind you, this is back in like 1890.
1892 is when it happened, 93.
Fall River, Massachusetts.
Fall River, yeah, Massachusetts. Yeah. Well, you know, somebody snuck in the house somebody in the house killed the mom,
right.
who was Lizzie's stepmom. She didn't really know it. I mean, she lost her real mom when she was two, and so she never really knew anything else. So it was just a crazy, crazy situation. Everybody in the house was kind of sick from food poisoning or something.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a refrigerator. That's the reason that he was so rich, but they didn't have running water. They didn't have a refrigerator. He wouldn't spend any money on the family, you know. And his two daughters, they wanted to go move up on the hill there where all the rich people were.
Right.
He didn't think it was appropriate. So anyway, somebody went upstairs and her stepmom was up there and just chopped her, you know, started whacking her in the head.
Right.
I think about it. Now they say 40. That's too many. It's more like 19 or 20. Right. You know, and then about an hour later, hour and a half later, whoever it was went downstairs, and there was Mr. Borden snoozing on the couch. He was just got home from doing something, and he was feeling kind of sick. And they went and started whacking on him.
Right.
Just crushed his skull and just chopped him up. Something awful. And that was the end of it. And then Lizzie is the one that found him. She started hollering for her sister upstairs, and something about one of the neighbors. She got one of the neighbors, and they all come over and called the police, and all kinds of crazy stuff happened. What was the name of that place? River or something?
Fall River, yeah.
Fall River?
Yeah.
Yeah. They had 150 or 120 police officers there. There was 100,000
wow.
people lived in that town. It was full of textile mills.
Right.
And but they couldn't get a cop to come over right away because they were all at a picnic. Police were having a picnic, so they took them a while to get there. But I don't know. They questioned. You know, they couldn't figure anything out, and they said, well, it must be her, you know?
Right.
And
there's some evidence that it could have been her, but...
Yeah. It could have been, yeah. She was one of the... Well, there's only a couple people home, but...
Right.
It was such a gruesome act, and they figured it was a lady that did it because it took so many whacks, you know? I mean, a guy done it. He chopped him up in a couple swings, you know?
Right.
But, and... So then they put her in jail for almost a year, and then they had the trial, and she was found innocent. You know, 12 guys on the jury, and they took them about 90 minutes, and boom, it was over. You know, and at first the whole town cheered, and everybody was on her side. She was a Sunday school teacher, a big time church person, and wildlife. You know, she took care of animals, and she was really involved in the town. You know, and the town was just cheering when they found her innocent. But then they all shunned her, and then she lost all. She bought the house that she wanted up on the hill there in the rich section, and she stayed there the rest of her life. You know, but the town people in the town didn't want nothing to do with her, so she really lived a crazy life. I mean, it was, you know. She was shunned by the whole town, really. And she didn't have no friends or nothing. And then her sister, after 10 or 12 years, her sister that was moved in with her, left, went and lived someplace else. And then, I don't know, 25 years later, they both died about in the same week.
Right.
And they were living far apart, too. You know, one in, I don't know, New Jersey or someplace, and the other one in Massachusetts. So it was a really strange story, but the more you listen to all these different things, nobody agrees on anything.
Oh, no, because there's too much, you know, too much time has drifted, and so a lot of the crime scene wasn't taken serious, you know.
Well, they didn't have the stuff they got now.
No, it would have been solved real quick.
1892, I think, yeah.
Nowadays, it would have been solved real quick, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that we forget is crime is drastically lower than it was back then, you know, mainly because you get caught so much easier. But yeah, there's some theories out there, different things that she could have been abused, and that's why she.
Well, it's a crazy story, and once you start listening to it, you kind of get hooked on it.
Yeah,
you know, and like I say, there's must be 100 videos on YouTube.
Yeah,
that talk about it, all by different people.
Yeah,
everybody's got their own opinion. And
my first introduction to it was in school. They talked about it. And then I remember the History Channel had a few episodes. There were different documentaries, I guess you would call it, on the subject. But there was different people putting theories out that she was abused, or the one maid, I guess her name was Sullivan. She was from Ireland. That maybe there was something going on between Lizzie and her.
Well, they put her up in the attic. She lived in the attic for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And hot. Dusty and dirty.
I mean, she could have done it too. Who knows? You know? That's the thing. Possible. So that's one right there. Solving.
Took her 3 years to do it.
And then. Yeah. And then it could have been John Morse, that was a maternal uncle of Lizzie's. It could have been William Borden. He was possibly the father's
illegitimate son. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was Emma Borden, had supposedly an alibi. It could have been Lizzie's sister, Emma, that could have did it, you know. It's hard to say, you know.
Yeah.
But no, this is one of those stories where it's like, you know,
it's just it hooks you, you know. It kind of hooks you because you don't really know, and nobody really knows. And so to watch what the police did and how they acted and how the whole courtroom thing went, you know, she had the former governor of Massachusetts as her defense attorney.
Yeah.
And while he was governor, he appointed the judge to his job. The judge that, you know, a lot of that probably wouldn't go today. But,
no. Here's an example. You know, the maid later on moved to Montana. She married. And there were some that were speculating that Lizzie and the maid were having some kind of relationship. But supposedly the maid, Sullivan, gave a deathbed confession to her sister, and where she said she changed her testimony to protect Lizzie. So there's some pointing towards Lizzie. I kind of lean towards that, but it's like, man, this is one of those stories where you don't know. It could have been anybody.
Yeah.
It could have been anything going on. We don't know. You know, but it was a pretty gruesome murder. And some have theorized that the stepmother was killed first, and then later on, the father came home, and that's when he got killed.
Yeah, hour and a half later.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would that thing say? She gave her mother 40 wax.
Yeah.
She saw what she had done, so she gave her dad 41.
Yeah.
That was the kids in school were singing that song. even before the trial started, you know. I mean, way back in 1992 or 1892.
Right.
So, and it's lasted all these years.
And so the weird thing is both Lizzie and her sister Emma were spinsters and never got married.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's an odd
thing. And they died within a week of each other.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
1925 yeah. or 27 or
yeah,
something like
1927,
that.
1927, yeah.
Wow.
The sister was older, too, by, I think, 10 years, as yeah. it says here. That.
Well, they had another sister that was in between them, but she died when she was 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
Some kind of brain, water on the brain or something, I forgot.
Right.
So Lizzie Borden didn't really even know her.
And to put it into context, they weren't poor people. They, you know, when Lizzie died, she was worth equivalent to like $6 million today.
Well, that's because when her dad was, when she was found innocent, she inherited the whole thing.
Right.
All his buildings and all his businesses and all, you know, everything. He had probably, you're talking right. $5 to $10 million worth of assets, and she got it all. And she got her house up on the hill too, right away.
Right.
And that's when the town turned against her, and boom, she lived a pretty solitude life, or whatever you want to call it. But anyways, did you find a song?
Yeah, I got a song.
Yeah, let's
here.
Play that song, and then we'll move on to something else.
Yeah.
You know, some other serial killer or some other mystery.
Right.
In Fall River she stayed, where the whispers were made, in a house where the secrets bled through. With an axe in her hand, no one could understand what was real and what wasn't true. Cold dead eyes, soft white lies, there were stains upon her dress. They thought they knew what she did do. The truth was anyone's guess. Did Lizzie Borden take an axe and give her mother 40 whacks? Is it true once that was done, she gave her father 41? In his chair, stepmother was upstairs. Soon the daylight faded into red. Some accused, some denied, and the neighbors all cried at the words that the headlines read. Stony face, with no trace of remorse or of despair. People said she made them dead, but Lizzie barely had a care. Did Lizzie Borden take an axe and give her mother 40 whacks? Is it true once that was done, she gave her father 41? A trial, shame and dread, whispers of what was said. Lizzie's life was on the line. Jury set her free, they wouldn't let her be. She remains accused of the crime. Hard cold axe, sharp swift cracks, death sentence the kids sang she gave. Stains on the floor, soiled name evermore. She took the secret to her grave. Did Lizzie Borden take an axe and give her mother 40 whacks? Is it true once that was done, she gave her father 41? Lizzie Borden took an axe. She saw what she had done.
If I were not a lady, I should twist your arm, Mrs. Borden, right out of its socket.
So there we go. That was Lizzie Borden. You know, there's a lot to be said about that.
That's very, I guess, entertaining. I don't know.
But yeah, yeah.
Curious.
These are mysteries. You know, you sometimes can go down a rabbit hole because there's many different theories, there's many different ideas.
Well, who was that other lady?
The Black Dahlia.
Black Dahlia, yeah.
Elizabeth Short.
They never figured that one out, did they?
No. Her real name was Elizabeth Short. She was born in 1924. And she only was 22 years old when she died, and she was cut in half.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. They found it in two pieces.
They also mutilated and other things. You know, it's pretty gruesome. But, you know, she originally was from Boston, and, you know, she moved around to, like, New England, Florida, and then went to California, and where her father lived. And, you know, it's like, it's hard to say.
Trying to go out there to be famous?
Yeah, trying to be an actress, trying to get jobs and whatnot, and... But really, no one called her Black Dahlia until after she died. But she ended up having, there for her murder, she had over 150 suspects. And it's still unsolved.
Just because she had a lot of friends or what?
Yeah. You know, it was early days of Hollywood, so things were a little bit more, let's say, lawless out there.
That's her picture right there. That's a pretty lady.
Yeah. But, you know, ended up going to California, and she was arrested for underage drinking.
I just remember some lady was walking down the street, walking her dog.
Yeah.
And they looked over, and there she was. Yeah. You know, in two pieces.
Yeah.
Laying there in the grass or weeds or whatever.
Right.
That's all I know about it. I really don't know. Right. But I do know they haven't figured it out.
Yeah.
So. You got any music that goes with that?
Yeah. That night she was like, you know, she was going out seeing a married man. And then, you know, he dropped her off at a hotel and then was in downtown Los Angeles. And she was last seen talking on a telephone and then she was at a lounge and then she disappeared. So they found her, you know, naked body and cut in half.
Ouch.
And, you know, it was pretty bad. They determined she was dead for 10 hours before discovering her. And then supposedly, I guess, they said the killer washed her body. There's some more to it. Like, you know, I won't go into more details, but there's a lot more pretty rough stuff there. Like I said, you know, they had over 150 suspects. You know, there's theories upon theories. Unsolved mystery. There was also a guy in Cleveland that was doing similar murders like that, where he was cutting in half. And there's lipstick murders, and there was lone woman murderers. There's tons of them, you know. But it's hard to say, you know.
Well, why don't you play the song you found? See what that is. I've never heard it, so
yeah,
it's not too rough, is it?
No.
Okay.
Put your foot on the pedal, boy.
It's the Real BS Show on a beautiful day.
Yeah, it's really 72 nice
out there and sunny. And
I had my window open last night. It was so nice.
It was 40-some degrees this morning when I woke up. Wow.
Very peaceful, very relaxing.
Yeah.
You know, on a positive note, you know, we've been talking about some dark stuff, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah. We should brighten things up.
Yeah. Well, one good note is there's less crime nowadays than in the past. Drastically drop in crime. If you look at the crime statistics, it's very murders and all those horrible things are low levels compared to the past. They still happen. I'm not denying that.
We got a lot more people out there now too.
You know, like the Green River Killer, you know, he was found through DNA, and they're finding more and more of these people that did these things through DNA. So there's some positives coming out of it, that these crimes are being solved in the past, and today they're being solved through DNA and other methods.
Well, they solve some of these crimes, you know, 20 years after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, it's
but they catch them. They're catching them better now. And I think that's a huge positive. But, you know, we can talk about other things besides dark themes. Sometimes we have to go to the dark to get to the brightness, you know?
Well, I was fascinated by this Lizzie Borden thing.
Yeah.
But, there's, when it comes to that, there's a whole ton of stories out there.
It's kind of like the D.B. Cooper stuff, you know. He was a pretty horrible person for hijacking a plane and threatening to blow people up, but he's still one of those ones out there that's completely unsolved. In 5 hours, that's all it took. They, you know, flew up and he made his ransom, you know, what he wanted his money to be given to him and what his requirements were, and he jumped out of a plane and most likely survived. Anyone telling you that he didn't survive doesn't know the case, they're lying to you. And anyone that thinks that they know the suspects, they're probably wrong, because I'll give you an example. Some people are saying McCoy's is D.B. Cooper, and it's not the case at all. McCoy was a goofball that did it, you know, with a copycat. But no, there's... I don't think D.B. Cooper's ever been... is not going to ever be solved, but I think the guy's not somebody who's ever mentioned as a suspect.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him.
It's one of those cases where
he jumped out of an airplane over the Northwest or something.
Yeah, and it wasn't, and, you know, people are like saying it was raining and it was freezing rain and all that stuff, and it was only 40 degrees on the ground. It wasn't bad. And yeah, he jumped at night, but people done it many times, jumping at night. And the money was found buried, and they found some money. It was only $6,000 they found, and it was buried. But it was buried in the springtime, not the fall, because it was happening in November, the day before Thanksgiving. And so the guy survived and buried some money for some odd reason, or someone buried his money. He could have had an accomplice that was buried the money and decided to come back later and never got it. Who knows? But he didn't drown in a river or a lake. He survived. And I truly believe that. If you look up the evidence, there's a guy named Ryan Burns. He's called D.B. Cooper Sleuth. He's a lawyer. But he looks at the case analytically, you know, and probably one of the best ones out there that's studying it. But, that's one of those ones that's a mystery. There's other cases out there that are just, well, like the Jack the Ripper. We probably will never know who that is, you know. They still don't know.
I don't know much about him either.
Yeah.
That was in England, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in London. Yeah. Yeah.
London?
Yeah.
Huh.
And there's a lot of that around the world. You'll find out, Pan's Ram is one we even touch. We won't talk about him because it's too rough. But there's other ones around the world that way, way worse people did things. And we think we have it bad here. And it's like, nah, there's pretty nasty people all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have a...
But when you say,
corner and that stuff.
Wouldn't you say most people though are good people? I mean, on average,
I'd say probably.
I mean, how society works?
99% of folks are good.
Yeah.
You know,
I would say 5% are probably not so much good. I would raise up a little bit more. Maybe even a 15% might be up there in the upper levels. But I think most people are good people. At least 85% of the people, they're just trying to live, trying to protect their families. And sometimes they get in bad situations, but then there's that 5 to 15% that just hate society and want to see it burn, and that's who you have to watch for, I guess. Because I mean, most of the people that commit crimes, it's about 5% of the population, really, if you break it down.
Crimes run a big long gambit. I mean, from stealing to killing people to
drugs.
All kinds of, of course, there's a lot of laws, too.
Sure. Yeah.
You can be a criminal easy.
You can get a felony for picking up a dead lobster in Maine on the coast. If you pick it up, it's a felony. You don't know that. How many people are going to Maine and not knowing you're not supposed to pick up a dead lobster up? Even because how do they know if it's dead or alive when you picked it up? You could have killed it. That's a crazy thing to think about. It's a felony.
You go to Red Lobster and get one already cooked.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it's like they're going to take your voting rights away and your right to own guns if you pick a dead lobster up. That's crazy. But see, that's a crime. That's what it would be. It's counted as a crime. I mean, you know.
So how are we going to cheer up everything?
We could cheer it up, you know. Think about it. Go outside and enjoy the fresh day, you know. That's what we should do, you know. Just take in the sun and relax. Because you know what? You know, life, it can be tough, but some days, you know, you have to look at the good days. There's good days and make happy moments with them. You know, help somebody out. That can help you out. I mean, you help somebody else out, that kind of makes you feel good too, don't it? You know?
I don't know.
Sometimes, you know. But we can play some more music. How about that?
Yeah, play some happy music.
Yeah.
There we go.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me, ease my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. The dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together.
No matter how they tossed the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together, so happy together. And how is the weather? So happy together, we're happy together.
Well, this is the Real BS Show on a happy, sorry, we started off with
a little bit of rough stuff, yeah.
Yeah, quite a crazy. It just caught me, you know, it just caught me, and I had to learn more about it. And I always heard about it, but I never knew much about it, so. But now that I've investigated, I still don't know.
Yeah.
So I guess it's all old news now. Everybody's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, we you know, this is one of those episodes we don't know who did it, but someone did it, you know.
Well, it's over and done with now.
Right.
Nobody got away with it.
That's true.
So I don't know. It's been a while. Let's call it a day.
Yeah.
We still got some recording to do.
Yeah, we still got some work to do. You know, we can't. Yeah. You know, we got to go out there and do some things and
say hello to Rob Potnick out there and who's some other guys that Nancy Taylor.
Nancy Taylor.
Yeah, we always got to say hi to her.
Yeah, yeah.
She's over in Philadelphia.
Yeah. And also those people in the overseas in Europe and stuff that were listening to us. So we got them in China. There was people in China listening.
Yeah, I don't know them people.
No.
But hello to everybody, and well, I guess it's goodbye to everybody because we're gonna sign off. We got another song left.
Yeah, I got one last song.
Last song.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it will be kind of a short one today, and we still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And it's a nice day, so we'll take a break.
Yeah.
And before Steve gets here.
Yeah.
All right, y'all be well and be nice to each other. And I don't have any famous last words today.
You are here.
Yeah. All right, see y'all next week.
Has the chillest towns past my window. I can see a washed out moon through the fog. And then a voice inside my head breaks the airlock and says, follow me down to the valley below. So I survived against the will of my twisted folk. But in the deafness of my world, silence broke. Bleeding from out of your soul.